Good evening.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. As usual, let's just relax and remember that each of us is a spirit being, and we have a soul. And we live in a body, and our spirit is one with God, and that all our needs are met. And that as we are approaching the supernatural realm, your soul has not been this way before, your body has not been this way before, but your spirit has. Your spirit knows what God has in store for you in the supernatural realm. It's perfectly normal for our souls to be apprehensive, even fearful, stressed out about getting out of the box, about getting out of its comfort zone, dealing with the wounds and rejection and misunderstandings. It's totally expected that your soul is going to be challenged as you begin to be involved in the supernatural realm and the soulical realm and the creatures and experiences that come in the supernatural realm. You're also going to be exposed to other things in the natural realm. And you're going to have physical experiences that you may not have entertained the idea of. And it's perfectly normal to question and wonder. It's even, expect to encounter things that you are going to miscategorize, that you're going to conclude, oh, this is of God and this isn't. And you could be wrong with both. Thinking something is not of God and it is of God, and vice versa. This is part of the learning process for your soul. Because remember, your spirit has all the answers. Your spirit is one with God and looking and guiding and directing your soul. Your spirit is directing and guiding your soul through these experiences in the supernatural realm. Because your spirit knows this is what's best for your soul. And we know that God is working on the healing and the restoration and doing everything that is on his side of the coin. And our side of the coin is to learn to live and move and have our being, our soul rejoined to our spirit, and learning how to live. And this is one of the ways we do that. We are much more comfortable because, you know, this is where we've been living, is in the natural realm. And we've talked about the three main areas, the finances, relationships, and our health. Those are the main areas where we encounter stress that God uses to communicate and get our attention. We're familiar with that. That's something we can deal with. And whether we're dealing with it appropriately or not, that's an area where God can get our attention. Well, there's going to be similar types of situations in the soulical realm, in the supernatural realm. And that's going to be at one time partially where they're going to share those experiences. For instance, encountering angels and encountering demons and encountering, you know, other kinds of mystical experiences, visions and dreams, there's going to be a shared experience of that. But then there's going to be personal encounters that has meaning for you and you alone. And really, the best way in general, the best way to encounter both the natural challenges and the soulical challenges. The response is the same. Lord, is that you? Lord, what do I do here? How do you want me to approach this? And always just the turning to God, just going, okay, what you're doing is you're not relying on your own strength. You're not relying on your own soul, your own understanding. Your soul has strengths and weaknesses, the strengths and weaknesses that God wants you to have. So we don't get angry, even though we may get frustrated. We don't belittle or berate our soul or the way God made it, because that's God's gift to you. But we recognize that the strengths and weaknesses are not our strengths and weaknesses. Who you are a spirit. And your spirit is one with God. And your spirit is not afraid. Your spirit is not apprehensive. Your spirit is not wondering what's going on. Your spirit knows what's going on. Your spirit knows how to handle any encounter, any situation. So we're going into these encounters, these battles, these challenges to draw our soul and our spirit together. Because that's what's happening, is your soul is being restored to your spirit. And this is the practical way it's happening. God is healing your soul, freeing your soul from the lies. Why? So that your soul can be reunited with your spirit. If God's actions were the only thing that happened, your soul would still not be restored to your spirit. Your soul would just be, you know, completely healthy, but just still on its own. But God wants you to be complete, entire, one, spirit, soul, and body. We can liken it to, in general, to the whole idea of why the resurrection was so important. Not just God, not just the Son paying for our sins, not just his crucifixion, not just Jesus dying on the cross for all our sins. If he didn't raise from the dead, we would not be restored. We would just be saved sinners. We would still not have life. So where does our soul get life? From reunion with spirit. Your spirit is experiencing eternal life right now. Your spirit is in the kingdom right now. Your spirit is experiencing the fullness of God. Your spirit is time traveling and creating, you know, planets, is ruling and reigning over angels and demons and ghosts and aliens and different time dimensions and whatever is going on. Your spirit's already part of God doing that. But our soul is part of your spirit. Your soul is part of your spirit for whatever time period and whatever purpose God has. But we've talked before about how it's the process that God is forming something in us, in our soul, spirit, and body that cannot be formed another way. At least there are things that, you know, we look at, okay, why would he do this? I don't think God is wasteful. I don't think he wastes planets and galaxies and you know, the universe, all creation, for something that wasn't significant. And I believe that what he is bringing forth in us as individuals and as a, you know, mini-membered body is significant to him, is valuable to him. And right now, your spirit is fully valuable to him. Your spirit doesn't have to change or mature or be, you know, progressive, you know, have to know its purpose or achieve anything or be anything other than what it is right now. You don't have to change in your spirit. Your spirit's done. Your spirit can't backslide. Your spirit can't misunderstand what God wants and who God is. Your spirit is fully accepted and loved and valued and significant, and you get all the gold stars. Your spirit is fully one with God. And because of that, your spirit being rejoined to your soul, this is the whole. This is your purpose. This is God's purpose. Now, we've talked before. There's a lot of people who listen to these podcasts, and I always appreciate hearing from you, that are involved in ministry. And hopefully through our conversations and through these podcasts, you're learning that ministry isn't what we think. Ministry is merely opportunity to learn how God does things in that particular forum when we encounter other people, for instance. You know, what God gives us unconditionally, that's grace. He gives us everything we need unconditionally. And us giving to others unconditionally, that's ministry. Just they're there, they have a need, God wants us to meet that need, we meet the need. That's ministry. Has nothing to do with having ministry in your name, starting a podcast, or writing a book, or starting a church, aren't necessarily ministries. But giving unconditionally what you have received unconditionally, that's ministry. And why is that important to God? Because it's through, in that particular situation, through that process, he brings you restoration, your soul to your spirit. And that's every situation in your life, your family life, your work life, your, you know, driving, whatever your occupation is, those are all as equally important to God as any kind of so-called professional ministry. His desire for us is that we do it unconditionally, because you are what's important to God. Your soul being reunited to your spirit, that's his purpose. You are his purpose. If he wanted to, you know, scrap this earth and start over again, he could do that with just a thought. If he wanted the whole world, every single living being, if he wanted them to all know Christ as their Savior right now, he could do that. So far, he hasn't done that. He might. Any minute, he might do that. He might do either one. He might destroy the whole world and start over again, or reveal himself to every single person on this earth. Or anything in between. He can do what he wants, and he is doing what he wants. We don't have to carry the weight of action. Part of our challenge is the whole concept of prayer. We have this idea that God is waiting for us to pray the right things, to ask the right things, to repent the right amount, to do it the right way, and then he'll fix things. And this is part of our challenge, that we have the idea that we know what the right thing is. And the more we can focus on what God is putting in front of us and just respond and act and rest and wait and act on, be involved, take that step, take that next step. All that's involved in resting in Him, having that confidence. And remember, even when your soul doesn't have confidence, even when your soul doesn't have confidence that it's hearing God, you can have confidence that your spirit does. Your spirit hears God perfectly because He's in God. Your spirit is in God. Your spirit hears God perfectly, sees exactly what He's doing in your life. So many of the most valuable experiences we have, if we had the opportunity to avoid them, we would. Because so many, we don't like change. We don't like it when things are hard. And this is why, you know, we want to know, okay, what's the center of God's will? And if we're in the center of God's will, nothing bad will ever happen to us. Well, that's not true, because, again, we learn and are changed, and our weakness and strengths that we've been relying on are revealed far more often when we've made mistakes. We're in the midst of that storm on the lake that Jesus reveals Himself when we're at our lowest. And part of our opportunity that we have on a moment-by-moment basis is just turning to God, recognizing my spirit is in Him. My spirit is in God. My spirit is not afraid of the circumstances. That frees your soul to be exactly what God made your soul to be. It's okay if your soul is fearful. It's okay if your soul, you know, is worried or anxious or angry. Your spirit isn't. Who you truly are is not angry or afraid or fearful. So the more we can respond and understand this is the process that we can, you know, enjoy even the difficult situations. Even as God calls us out of our box, out of the boat, and onto the stormy waves, where not only, you know, okay, we're walking out on the boat onto the waves that are over our head, and we're walking on the water, because Jesus calls us out. And you have to remember those experiences that disciples had. They weren't even Christians. They weren't even spirit beings. And Jesus was expressing, even without being spirit beings, this is what your soul can do. Now, if this is what their souls could do, now that you and I are spirit beings, you know, what did He say? Greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. You know, if Jesus had remained here on this earth, we'd be relying on Him. Now, in a sense, we still are, but we're instead now looking at, okay, our spirit is one with God. And yes, it's harder, and that's what God wants. He doesn't want it to be so easy that we take Him for granted, that we create our own heaven and hell and earth and our own concepts, which is exactly what we do. When we're left on our own, we make up our own doctrine. We make up our own concepts, and we make up our own morality, our own Ten Commandments, our own, these are the things to do to please God. This is how to pray. This is how to treat one another. This is how to treat ourselves. You know, oh, we think, okay, if we're all humble and, oh, you know, God, you know, forgive me, a sinner. It's like, no, you were a sinner, but now you're a saint. And God loves you exactly the way you are and accepts you exactly the way you are, and you're in process. But if we've been using that to keep our soul from having to change, you know, and how many of us, well, I'm just going to, you know, occupy till he comes. Well, guess what? He's come. If he's revealed himself to you to show you that you need him, you need us to be re-spirited, he's come. He's come to you. So now that you are occupied, now that your soul is being drawn to your spirit, how are you going to respond? And the more we can accept that, you know, on our own, your soul is not going to be ready, and that's okay. If your soul was already one with your spirit, you wouldn't need anything more. You wouldn't need healing. You wouldn't need to learn. You wouldn't need greater understanding or wisdom. You'd be able to do those miracles. You'd be able to raise the dead. You'd be able to, you know, time travel. You'd be able to go to Saturn and back. Now, so far, I don't know of anybody who can do that. I did know somebody, but they've passed on. But that should be all of our experiences. That's not just for special people. That's for anybody who has a soul. And we're going to be talking about, and we'll go ahead and talk about it now. I want you to start thinking about this. How do we start? How do we start? What's the next step? Just as everything else, we ask. We ask the Lord for supernatural experiences, for supernatural encounters. And we're going to get real specific, but if there's something that you've been desiring, dreams, visions, miracles, there's, again, particular ability you want to have quickened, ask. If you're not interested in anything in particular, ask the Lord to create in you a hunger and a thirst, and that you will accept whatever hunger he gives you. You may be thinking he's going to create a hunger, you know, to do miracles, when really he gives you all of a sudden a hunger and a thirst to serve people or to learn to love your neighbor or to make peace with a member of your family. Let him draw you. You know, it says, the Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. It's not that he satisfies the desires of our heart. He says he gives the desires. The desires that your heart has come from God. So spend time and be aware of what your heart wants. And then what do? We ask the Lord, is that you? You know, you're going to learn a lot about your soul, about your motives, about your strengths and weaknesses as we move into learning to live as a spirit being that has a soul and lives in a body. So let's back up a little bit. What exactly are supernatural experiences? And we're just going to start real general. And the next few weeks, we're going to start drilling down and becoming more and more specific. But for now, just start asking the Lord and engage in that process. But supernatural experiences can be broadly defined as the reality of the spiritual and or natural realms breaking through and being revealed to our soul, which exists in the supernatural realm. So again, this is, you're not going to be encountering just the spiritual, but there's things going on in the natural realms that you're also not aware of. But this is why learning to wait on the Lord and being able to hear his voice is so important. And remember, your soul may not have the confidence that your soul is hearing perfectly and clearly, but your spirit is hearing perfectly and clearly. And your spirit is confident. Your spirit is strong. Your spirit is dwelling in the kingdom. So the kingdom doesn't need to be built. The kingdom is built already. We enter. Your spirit's in the kingdom. Our soul is entering the kingdom. But it's only by having our senses tuned and God doing that and our working, you know, as you, let's say if you, you know, enjoyed bird watching, over time, your ears get so tuned to be able to hear, before seeing any birds, being able to hear, oh, that's a cardinal. Oh, that's a chickadee. That's a warbler. That's an oriole. You're able to distinguish the different sounds by experience. Well, it's the same in the supernatural. Our soulical senses become tuned to what's going on in the supernatural realm based on time and experience. So we become more and more able to perceive what's going on in the natural, the supernatural, and even the spirit. Because your spirit is already seeing everything that's going on in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, in the natural realm. So he cleans out our ears. He lifts the veil from our eyes. And he sensitizes us to his movement and utilizes all of our senses to become aware of the slightest activity in the supernatural realm. We can rely on him to do that, and your spirit is cooperating with him. Now, one of my favorite illustrations about this, and hopefully this is encouraging to you, and we have to remember that this is an Old Testament illustration, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, and this was to his servant, about his servant, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. If our senses are not tuned to what is going on in the supernatural, we will not recognize it. We will not know. We will not see. Even though right now there are chariots and angels and horses roaming about you right now. There are angels and demons and ghosts and aliens and any other creatures. And I just throw those in to catch all because we don't know. But whatever it is that's going on in the supernatural realm right now, it's going on right now, right where you are, just as God himself is sitting right next to you. If you're driving, he's in the passenger seat or in the back, in your speaking in your ear. But he's right with you wherever you are. And again, your spirit is one in him. But if we don't know, we will not be able to engage in the process. We won't be engaging in the battle or the worship or the rest or the victory. And why is that important? Because those are opportunities that have been crafted for us. It's not that, okay, if we don't get involved, nothing good is going to happen. No, that's not it at all. It's that those opportunities, those experiences have been crafted for us. So please take some time this coming week. Spend some time with God. Ask him to draw you with a hunger and a thirst, to give you the desires of your heart. And then let him draw you in the direction he wants you to go. And then in that area, ask for supernatural experiences, supernatural encounters. And let him take you wherever he wants to go. How do you respond? Lord, is that you? And we will talk some more about testing what you hear as we go. But for right now, just enjoy the process. God has wonderful things for you that are going to be both scary and exciting. So thanks for tuning in. And again, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through the contact form on the website or through Blog Talk Radio. It's always good to hear from you. And I appreciate your questions and your feedback. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.